and who have received 3 years, 4 years. So quite naturally, this makes me wonder what's happening and exactly what just is going on, you know, and how did I wind up with 5 to 10 years?
Hey, Brother Mathis, we've talked about your life at Attica, your day at Attica, your frustrations at Attica. We've talked about the kind of literature you're now reading. You spend a lot of time in your cell, naturally.
Yeah, that's right.
And we talked earlier about many of the things that you think about, many of the things that are going on in the world.
Right.
And particularly in the black community.
Right.
And you're now incarcerated.
Right.
And you hear about the political issues, and you are an addict, and you're in a cell, and you have certain feelings and certain kinds of responses to those. And you said earlier that Attica was nothing but a reflection of society, and that when you came there, you expected certain things which in fact existed, and when you got to Attica, the kind of discrimination between inmates, white inmates, black inmates, white officers, black inmates, was merely nothing more than what takes place in America. How do you feel?
Well, you come to the conclusion that everything is a farce. The whole makeup, the whole system is a joke, especially to the lower class, to the lumpkin proletariat, the everyday Joe Blow in the street. You know, you get the impression that you're being used, misused, and had, right? So when you're in the cells, you don't do anything but gather animosity, hatred, and a dim view of the of society and those that are in authority as a whole. You know.
Brother Mathis, now, while you're in your cell, we understand the commission's heard that there are radio stations. You're a black inmate.
Right.
And a large percentage of the population in Attica are black inmates.
Majority of it is black, right.
And you have three channels.
Right.
Which you can plug in to listen
right.
to a radio or
right.
an audio part of a TV.
Right.
TV. I understand that there are a large number of black stations to which you might listen if you were on the streets.
Right.
How many times during the week can you listen to a black program?
Now, you listen to a black program maybe 4 to 5 times out of a week, right? You have WUFO from Buffalo, right? And it goes off when the sun goes down. You know, you listen to WBLK. This is what is known as the Hound Dog, right? Now, you might listen to this one day, and you might listen to Hard Rock the next day, you know, on this one particular plug, right? You might listen to underground music the next day. You might listen to WBLK another day, right?
Were all of these programs always available?
Now, they are always available, true.
When you arrived at Attica?
Right, right. Now, majority of the guys, when they listen to the earphones at all, they listen to the first plug, because this is what is known as the soul station, you know, brother and sister thing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the majority of the populace of Attica is black and Puerto Rican, and this is what they like, right? Now, around 8 o'clock or something, dude might interrupt and say, well, we're going to bring on a hockey game, right? Nobody want to hear no hockey, man. You know, we don't want to hear no hockey, man. We want to hear somebody singing, you know? We want to hear somebody snapping their fingers, you know what I mean? So it could uplift my spirits a little bit, you know, because at the present, I'm feeling mighty low, you know?
Well, now you also see movies. Movies are available once a week. Is that correct?
Now, I didn't see but one movie since I've been in Attica.
Why
haven't seen
that?
But one. Well, because during summer, there aren't any movies. Now, during the winter months is when you go to the movies. I believe it's once a week. I'm not at all sure because I only, like I said, I only seen one. But I believe it's once a week. And guys have gripes about that because it seems that in other institutions they have 3 or 4 movies a week.
What kind of movies have they had available at Attica in the last year?
Well,
have
the
you
only
seen
one
the schedule?
I haven't ever seen the schedule. The only one I seen, it was maybe a grade B comedy. You know, that's the only one I seen.
Brother Matthews, at this time I'd like the commissioner to ask a few questions and I'll ask a few more.
Mr. Matthews, you've been most generous and fully responsive to the questions put by Mr. Edison. And indeed, I have one or two questions I'd like to ask too. But first, I wanted to tell you about something that I think you didn't get to hear when Mr. Lyman first spoke this morning. And that is that each witness has an opportunity to make a statement of his own if he wishes. Now, I don't know whether there's something that you want to say for the commission and for the public to hear, which you can do now, or you can wait until after some of the commissioners have asked their questions, if you wish to say anything separately and in addition.
Well, I'll wait.
All right. I want to ask you, in connection with your own sentence, am I correct in understanding that you have not yet been entitled to come up before the parole board for a determination of your minimum sentence?
No.
When do you become ineligible for the first time?
I believe it's 74. Not 74, 75.
It's the full 5 years before you can be considered for parole, is that right?
I believe it's 3 years and maybe 6 or 7 months, maybe.
3 years and 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, right, something like that.
Have you been given any advice as to what the consequences on that hearing are of the several disciplinary proceedings that you have had so far? Does that give you any concern?
Right now, I've been told by fellow prisoners, this is usually where the gross of my information comes from, is fellow inmates, and I've been told that my disciplinary actions, the way I carry myself, my attitude and whatnot, determines whether or not I will get an early release or maybe if I will get hit with some time by the board.
Have the correction officers ever threatened you with that as a kind of a sanction to hold over you?
Not directly, but indirectly, yes.
You spoke about the necessity to bring your grievances to the courts rather than within the system.
Right.
How do you get your legal advice, or have you prepared any writs by yourself, or have you gotten assistance from other inmates?
Right. Well, this is the majority of it, assistance from fellow inmates. You buy, or they tell you as to what particular law books to get. You send out, you get them in, and you and your fellow inmates, prisoners, work on them. Yeah.
Have you found the books in the prison library that you wanted?
I've never used the prison law library. I myself have never used it.
Have you actually filed a writ with the court?
I have filed one, but it was due to the riot.
I mean, after the events of September.
Right. Now, I'm presently pursuing my case that that brought me to Attica. I'm doing research on that now because I find out that it's a lot of words and a lot of procedures and justice that I'm not aware of. I'm at present studying and gathering information concerning my case.
And who has helped you on that? Inmates, or have you had lawyers on the outside?
No. All inmates.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Hennings, have you questions?
No, I don't have very many questions, but one thing you did say that I think is important here is that what you felt was that the officers needed sensitivity type of training,
most
becoming
definitely
more aware. In view of, your feelings about, being black and what it all means and being a part of a system, a racist society, would you be willing to participate in a group where officers were involved in being sensitized?
In other words,
you are willing to work
right.
in order to improve the conditions in the prison.
Right.
That's all right.
Mr. Rothschild?
I have just a short question. Ms. Matthews, in your discussions as to the motivation that brought you into the Muslim society, You said that, that basically it was, if I understood you, that it was realizing why you were there and wanted to do something about yeah. it. Am I right in inferring from that that your resentment basically that you've expressed is toward the institution at Attica and not basically so much at your at the fact that you were put there for the offenses that the court charged you with? Am I interpreting your remarks correctly?
Repeat that again.
Well, just in that you seem to that the Muslim conversion that you're going through is a result of your feeling that trying to come to grips with the reasons you were there and what's been with your life thus far, and that your resentment that you've expressed is basically toward the institution, the prison itself, and not so much in a feeling that you shouldn't have been sent there for the offenses for which you were charged. I mean, your resentment really is at the is what goes on at Attica rather than the fact that the judicial system resulted in your being there. Am I reading you right?
Right. Now, on that, my answer is this, that at the present, this is what I'm speaking about. Attica, right? But now, as to what led up to Attica, right, and to why I was put there, I definitely feel as though there was wrong and there was injustice there also. I haven't elaborated on the fact, you understand me, but I do believe this.
Thank you.
Mr. Matthews, do you think that the officers at Attica or any other prison, I don't know, have more discrimination as as much as you have found outside of prisons?
Well, the relationship there between inside and outside is totally different. You see, Attica is a very unnatural environment, whereas society out there behind the gray walls are altogether different. Now, when you come into Attica, you come into a society where you have all types of people with all types of attitudes. But basically, they all have one thing in common. They're criminals, you know. They are outcasts of society. They are people who did wrong against someone else. Mm. Now, when you realize this, you realize that the fact that you're around people who have a totally different concept of the people out there. So, therefore, you're in an unnatural environment from the get-go. You have homosexuals, you have killers, you have burglars, you have confidence men, you have all these types of people criminally minded. Now, you have to learn to deal with this on this level. Consequently, when you get outside of the walls, you're in a totally different and a totally new environment. It's altogether different between night and day.
Yeah. So that naturally, that's, I suppose, in other words, the discrimination of the guards there, it would seem as if it is even more because of the type of people who are
now,
there.
Now, with the discriminations of the guard there, the first
that's
thing...
That's what I ask.
Right. The first thing that is on their minds is that you're a criminal, right? And they treat you as such, you know. They forget that you're a human being, and that you're a member of the human race, you know.
Now, I want to ask you another thing, Mr. Matthews. Do you think that being a member of the or having taken up the
Islamic
Muslim religion, and also Panthers, you did say that you had joined the Panthers,
right,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Have anything to do with the denial of your educational requirements or desires?
I can't say that because I really don't know. I hope it's not, but I haven't found out any indication where it has been.
Now, I want to ask you, which this is, of course, only for my own edification. After finding, which you have so eloquently told us that you are finding yourself and trying to find out your why before you did, you know, like taking dopes and committing these crimes, with all this profound spiritual wisdom, do you personally hate the white people?
No. This is something that I had to do a lot of soul searching about. Do I hate white? Do I hate Europeans? No, I do not hate. I more or less am aware of the situation. I'm aware of why they treat me the way I do. Now, what I have to do now is to put all this in the proper perspective. And now I have to step in the right direction. Now, I don't hate them, but at the same time, I try to be aware of them. You know, I try not to let hatred and malice come into me, because, like, I realize that this is a disease in itself.
Yes, because in other words, white, just for the, because some white people hate black people just because they're black,
right,
without delving into the person, whether that person is worthy or not, whether that person is equal as a man and so forth. And the same thing, I just wanted to know if the same thing happens on, from the blacks. And since you are finding yourself, whether this thing would continue or it wouldn't continue, or whether you ever felt that way, which I think is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Matthews, when you went up to Attica, you had kicked off the drug habit, hadn't you?
Right, yes.
Did anyone ask you about it at that time? Well, maybe what I'm getting to, is there any professional psychiatrist, psychologist, or
no.
Medical doctor?
No. Now, I had heard that they were trying to institute a rehabilitation program in Attica. I had heard that they had meetings or consultations, group therapy, right, where inmates that had narcotics on their records could go into group therapy, right? But I myself never attended because, for one thing, it was never publicized.
Well, my wonder was whether, you know, maybe people like you should be sent to a hospital or to a prison, you know, a maxi security there. Then the question of your religious convictions, and I ask this very sincerely because I admire your convictions. About how many inmates at Attica at the time of the revolt, say, would share these convictions with you?
My particular...
A ballpark figure, you know.
My particular religion, Sunni Muslim, maybe 100, maybe.
And you said there were some students who came in from Buffalo?
Right.
There was no chaplain?
Right. No,
or leader,
no,
prophet,
no imam, no teacher.
I see. Then this is a theological question. Mm-hmm. If you get into a dietary situation, at least what we do, is there someone who could grant a dispensation?
I beg your pardon? You shot past me.
A dispensation would be a kind of favor for grave inconvenience of preparing two meals or so in an institution, where someone, your leader, would say, well, today, fellows, you don't have to worry about the pork. It's all right to eat it, or we'll substitute something else.
No, I have yet to see...
You haven't done it.
...see that instituted. No, no, no.
Many of us on the commission have been hearing the fact that if there were more black COs, there wouldn't be unrest, or very little there would be little unrest. Now, I was very interested in hearing what you said, because basically I think it gets down to the person, and to the education of the person,
right,
respect for human
right,
dignity, and the
right,
respect for
right,
treating a person, as
right,
you said, as a person or as a human being.
Right. You see, this, may I add, is a hang-up.
Right.
Yeah, whether it's blue, green, polka dots.
Now, would you feel equally intimidated if a black god stood talking to you, holding the stick you spoke about?
I would feel more so, because I would feel as though, hey, man, you, you know, you proud of me, you know, what's
right,
happening
right,
with you?
You wouldn't expect that from him.
No, no. I would expect it, seeing that he came up under the rules and justice of the establishment, right? I would expect it, but I couldn't go for it. I wouldn't like it.
Right.
See, because this is what they tell him to do, and quite naturally, this is what he's going to do.
Right. Then the last question, a short one. The athletic facilities, I assume you didn't use them too often, but would you say they were segregated, either forced or enforced?
Oh, no. In that perspective, no. No,
there weren't.
No.
It just happened that way, for instance,
right,
where the blacks were playing basketball with 10 blacks. And
right. Now, at one particular time, again, before I came to Attica, they had what is known, they had black baseball and football teams,
right,
and they had white baseball and football teams. But when I came there, this was, you know, this was not.
So you wouldn't say today?
Well,
there,
right now,
such a
at
thing,
the present, it's not that.
I see.
No, it's not.
I thank
not
you.
Ms. Wadsworth?
Mr. Matthews, you spoke about the relationships of the correctional officers and the inmates and the great need for more sensitivity there, and Mr. Hennicks picked that up, and you said you'd be willing to work in that area. I'd like to go next into the area of sensitivity between the whole prison world and outside the walls, society. It seems as if unless there is some awareness and education and understanding of the whole criminal justice system, that we aren't going to move anything. Is there any way to promote, or do you think there's any validity in going further with the ideas of volunteers working within a correctional facility, of having branches of organizations within a correctional facility, of increasing the visiting privileges, of widening the weekend idea? Are these real, or are these not going to be significant changes, even if they were worked very hard to achieve?
This is very beautiful. Now, this is what we need. Everything that you just said is what we need. This would give the fellow prisoners, me, a chance to talk, a chance to communicate with the outside world. This is the whole hang-up, lack of communications. They hear stereotype ideas or stories that con artists, the rapists, the murderers, this, that, and what have you. So now when they hear this, the first thing that the public do is they shy away. They say, I don't want to rap to them. You know, we don't have anything in common. But they forget the fact that I'm a human being just like you are. You understand? I come from the same world that you come from. You understand? Now why don't you come in here and let's get this thing together and find out why I'm here. You understand? So now that I could come out there and maybe possibly be your next door neighbor. This is what we need.
Thank you.
Mr.
Matthews, I had the impression from something you said that you won the charge that sent you to Attica, that you pleaded guilty. Was it a sort of a plea bargaining that you went in with the prosecuting attorney? Is that correct?
It was supposed to be, but it didn't turn out as such.
I see. And you got the maximum sentence in any event.
Yes.
Now, what I get, from what I heard you say, I gather your major, what you would classify as a major complaint in your time up there has been the diet issue. Mm-hmm. The treatment by the doctor told you to write to Japan, and I've forgotten the third one I was going to. Oh, and not being assigned to school. But other than that, the frustration I'm getting from hearing from you is the petty little incidents in which you're told to go to the front of the line, or now go to the back. You can't wear a turtleneck, or you can't do this and you can't do that. Based upon how the officers feel, whether he's feeling good or feeling bad, so that you get this sort of thing constantly. Am I correct that this is the real problem that the one finds frustrating in prison life?
Definitely, 50%, yeah, right.
Well, what's the other 50%?
The other 50 is being dehumanized, feeling made to feel less than a human being. That's the other 50.
You're eligible to get out in about 3 years.
Beg your pardon?
You're eligible to get out in about 3 years.
Something to that effect, yeah, right.
The parole.
All right, all right.
Have you thought at all now what you would do when you got out?
I've thought about it a great deal. Great deal.
Could you tell us if there is any kind of a program, maybe it's what Mrs. Wadsworth talked about, but if there's any kind of a program that could be put in place in an institution like Attica, with the walls, and all the maximum security and all of that implies, that would help you with that problem, or whether that's sort of basically impossible?
I don't think, did you say possible, impossible?
Yeah.
I don't believe anything is impossible. I believe if the establishment wants to institute it, they can, you know. It's just up to the establishment as to what they want to do, you know. Outside programs, work programs, give an inmate, a prisoner, a sense of responsibility, give him a sense whereas he can feel as though he can be trusted, put a little burden of trust on him and see what he'll do with it. Make him feel as though that he has a little morals. Let him know that he also obtains a little scruples. Let him know that he also has a certain amount of intelligence. And give this to him and see what he'll do with it. Now, subsequently, if he hangs his own self, well, more power to him. But at least you've given him something. But first, give this to him and let him try this out. Understand? I was listening to the program the other night, and they were speaking about a halfway house in Rochester. Right? Prior to that, they had a program on coming from California. I believe it was from the Soledad prison, where inmates were involved in outside programs, things that the inmates themselves wanted to do, musicians, plumbers, guys who wanted to go to college, school, and whatnot. And the program that, what I gathered from the program was that this was working famously, and that it was a better relationship between prisoners and officers. It was a better relationship between prisoners and society. And everybody was having a beautiful relationship as a whole. Now, I hear about the halfway house coming out of Rochester. The state can't find the money in order to institute it. Understand? But the state can find the money to do anything else they want to do. See what I'm saying?
Yes. So there's nothing like that at all for you now in Attica?
No. They're all, at the present, dreams. You know? That's what they are about now.
How much money do you make a week in your present job?
A week? Well,
approximately.
Add up 45 cents a day, 5 days a week.
I noticed, you know, you've been smoking a few cigarettes. Right. Are you able to support your smoking habit with the money that you make?
Now, with the money that I make, I couldn't possibly support my cigarette habit and maybe my education habit, reading material. Like some of the books I order may cost $4 or $5.
You know? And supplement your diet?
Beg your pardon?
And add to your diet with, your diet? Your foods?
No, if my girlfriend doesn't send it to me, you know, I don't usually get it. You know? I have to either pick one or the two. I say, well, this week I'm going to buy me 2 crates of cigarettes, which cost, what, $3 or something, right? That's $7 for 5 2-carts, right? $7.07, right? Consequently, I got about $1 or $2 or $3 left over. You know, this is on a monthly basis, right? Now, this month I might buy cigarettes. Next month I might buy books, and I do without the cigarettes, you know. But
what?
Something definitely has to go. I can't have them both. I can't have my cake and eat it too.
One final question. You indicated in the very beginning you wanted to go to school.
Right.
What if you were in school, for which I assume you would not be paid? Then how would you afford your cigarettes?
You would
or
get
anything?
Paid. You get something like 20 cents a day. Now, this is basic. Now, guys who are idle, who don't have any particular job, or who go to school, eligible for 20 cents a day. They tell me that this is in the Constitution.
All right, but to go to school, you would have to sacrifice other things.
Almost definitely.
From the commissary.
All right, if you had no money coming in from the outside, most definitely.
I have just a few more questions I'd like to ask you. We talked at length today and prior to today about your feelings about black people in the community, black people in the country, and black people all over the world. And you express extreme concern for young people.
Right.
And have you thought about what you would like to say to them about Attica and about your experiences in Attica and prior to coming to Attica?
My message is this, like, when I met you, right, and you were walking in metal shop, right? I was curious as to who you were and what you were doing, right? So now when I came over and I listened to the conversation, and I heard that you were from the McKay Committee. I had heard quite a few foul stories about the McKay Committee as to they weren't really on our side and so forth and what have you. And you mentioned television. So that right there started to turn me off and I started to breeze, right? But then you said something else which made me do acute bowed face and listen. You said that the only way for the public to understand what's going on behind the gray walls is for somebody behind the gray walls to come out here and shoot it to the public, right? I dug that. And this alone is what brought me here, right? I'm not by no means a camera bug, right? I am by no means trying to seek a political position or trying to let everyone know that I was on television. I simply came here because I thought I had a message to get to the people. And the message that I want to get across is to my young brothers and sisters, because I find it very hard trying to relate to dudes who are in their middle 30s, right? Dudes who are what is known as grown men, females also, right? I'm not too much interested in the suburban areas. I'm not too much interested in the Tonawandas and the Cheektowacas. I'm interested in the young black brothers and sisters who live in the ghetto. I'm interested in the youth, you understand, that are growing up in the environment that I grew up in. I'm interested in young brothers who are in the gangs in Buffalo who are shooting, killing each other for no apparent reason. Now, I realize why they are doing this, you understand, because I myself used to be a youth, believe it or not. Now, I want to get the message to them that if they keep this activity, if they keep this up, subsequently, they're going to wind up in Attica with me, you understand? I sit down in the mess hall. I see young brothers come in. Say, hey, what's happening, Matches? And every time they do that, I feel it here, understand? Because he doesn't have to be here. And he got 18 years, 20 years. They're coming in with life sentences right now. They're getting younger and younger every day, understand? This hurts. This hurts because I know that when I leave out of here, there'll be a whole new population of blacks in here, right? Which could have been avoided. It could have been avoided if the people out there would wake up, if the people out there would stop trying to get the LDs, if the people out there would forget about trying to get the White House on the Hill, if the people out there would quit trying to get the alligator shoes that come up to the kneecap, if the people out there would try to understand the youth, would try to deal with the problem and quit pushing it off on everyone else, right? If they would try and explain, try and understand, try to reason and to rationalize with the youngsters coming up today. Understand? This is what I'm here for. Now, if I can get a message to them, you understand me? If I can get a little bit of insight and make them see a little of what's really going on or what's really happening, and if they keep going the way that they're going to wind up behind prison with me in an unnatural surrounding and an unnatural atmosphere, which they are totally unaware of. This is the message that I'm trying to get across.
Would you, I believe you got that across, would you, we talked earlier about your conviction, and you said that at the time that you went to court, you were a junkie. And were you certified as an addict?
Right, I was certified by one Dr. Webster at Best Street Rehabilitation Center. Certifications came back, I was a drug addict, right?
Did you request to get into any kind of program?
Right. I had spoke with my lawyer. My lawyer had told me that it was a possibility that I would get to hospital.
Instead
of coming to Attica. I told him, beautiful, because this is what I wanted, and this is what I felt I needed, right? He said, well, don't worry about a thing, right? So now, he comes, and I'm laying in 10 Delaware. He tells me, he said, oh, man. He said, I don't know, scratching his head. I said, what's wrong, man? You know, he said, judge is acting kind of funny, man, you know? I said, why? He said, well, he don't believe that you're an addict. I said, why he don't believe it? I said, the doctor said I am. Well, he said, well, I don't know, man. He said, but man, not cop. He said, but I think it's a great possibility. You'll get it, right? So anyway, now, I don't know exactly what's going to come out, right? But I'm hoping for the program, right? Seeing that the certification papers come back that I am an addict, right? 90% of the chances that I would get the program.
Instead of coming to Attica.
I spoke with the probation officer that was taking my probation report. He came to me while I was in Windy Penitentiary. And I asked him, I said, well, how does it look with the probation report? He said, well, everything was going on all right. He said, great possibility. He said, you should be no sweat. You should cop, right? I said, okay, solid on that. Now, when I get up to the sentencing day, when I come and stand before the judge to get sentenced, right, I'm hoping for the program, which my lawyer, with the help of the probation officer, led me to believe that this is what I'm going to get, right? So now, when I stand in front of the judge, he's rifling through the papers, you know, and every now and then he looks at me and he says, well, Mr. Matthews, he says, due to the time that you got busted, due to the year that you got busted in, which was in 67, October, you come under the jurisdiction of the old law. He said,
the old penal law.
Under the old penal law. He told me that the new law came into effect in September of 1967. Being that this is so, he has no alternative but to sentence me under the old law. He could not give me the hospital as it was out of his jurisdiction. He then said, I sentence you to Attica Correctional Facility for no less than 5 and no more than 10 years. Right? I want to fall out, right? Because I am looking for one thing and I get another. So I asked my lawyer as to how this came about. And he quickly runs to me. He said, well, you know that it's up to the discretion of the judge whether or not you get the program.
Did you have private counsel?
Did I have private counsel? No, I had a state lawyer, you know. I didn't have no money. Right?
How do you feel about the
state lawyer.
Yes.
Well, look, how would you feel if I'm going to prosecute you and then slide somebody up under you for, you know, to be your lawyer, you know, which I'm paying? How you going to feel?
So you've been at Attica for almost a year.
Right.
After not having been certified or having been certified but not going to a hospital program.
Right.
You came into Attica, you spent some time in reception and attempting to get into a rehabilitation program.
Right.
Having failed that,
I formed one of my own.
You formed one of your own. And now you've been in Attica almost 1 year.
Right.
Could you tell the commission what you think Attica has done for you?
Well, as a whole, Attica has made me realize that shouldn't come back. It's made me realize that people in my position are subject to anything that may come down from the jurisdiction or the ruling body. I've been subject to dehumanizing tactics. I've been subject to misrepresentation. I've been told that I can't be trusted. I've been told that the establishment is right and I am always wrong. So from this, I gather that I'm going to try to make this my first and last time ever coming into a place like Attica. Yeah.
Mr. Matthews, when you came out earlier to testify, you asked not to be sworn, is that correct?
Right.
And why did you not want to be sworn in?
Because the last time that Mighty wanted me to put my hand on the Bible, man, I got shafted, you know?
What do you mean by that?
Railroaded, you know, deceived.
to Attica?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are not your own clothes, are they?
No, no, this is not me at all. Definitely not. No. No, no.
Where did you get those clothes from, Mr.
Well, the institution provided them, you know. They provide them. Everything that they have in the clothing shop, in the clothing department, for guys coming out or you know, parole and whatnot, is outdated. It's about 20 years behind time, you know.
Brother Matthews, before you agreed to come here, we talked at length, and we talked a lot about anticipated reprisals.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Now, you're going to leave here in a few minutes.
Right.
And you're going to go back to Attica.
Right.
You feel jeopardized?
Well, now, I know that I'm not going to be very well liked, right? I know that I'm not going to get a priority and a reception. I know that the correctional officers are going to be looking at me side at the corner of the eyes, right? Somebody might say something to me funny out the side of his neck. But as long as no one tries to put their hand on me, everything will be kosher.
Thank you, Brother Matthews.
Mr. Matthews, you've been most eloquent in your testimony, and we're very grateful for your being with us today. That, I believe, closes the hearings for the day, Mr. Lyman. Let me just preview very briefly what is on the schedule for tomorrow. Again, at 10 o'clock in the morning and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tomorrow, we will have, again, witnesses.
This is a concentration camp for the poor.
This time, there will be witnesses on the correction officer side and on the inmate side. We hope you will be able to join us again. The meeting is recessed.
Concentration camp for the poor.
Give me the mic.
Concentration camp for the poor.